Hello everyone, Annette and Ada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette and Ada. Today, we're on What is the Ego, and we're on Lesson 339. Now, because it's 339, that means I'm going to be reading the entire What is the Ego to you all, so you can just sit back. Obviously, here we say this disclaimer every single time. If it's safe to do so, you can just shut your eyes. I'm in the driver's seat, figuratively speaking, and you can just listen to What is the Ego all the way through from start to finish. You might want to take a deep breath, you know, just relax and listen. What is the ego? The ego is idolatry, the sign of limited and separated self, born in a body, doomed to suffer, and to end its life in death. It is the will that sees the will of God as enemy and takes a form in which it is denied. The ego is the proof that strength is weak and love is fearful. Life is really death, and what opposes God alone is true. The ego is insane. In fear, it stands beyond the everywhere, apart from all, in separation from the infinite. In its insanity, it thinks it has become a victor over God Himself. And in its terrible autonomy, it sees the will of God has been destroyed. It dreams of punishment and trembles at the figures in its dreams, its enemies who seek to murder it before it can ensure its safety by attacking them. The Son of God is egoless. What can he know of madness and the death of God when he abides in him? What can he know of sorrow and of suffering when he lives in eternal joy? What can he know of fear and of punishment, of sin and guilt, of hatred and attack, when all there is surrounding him is everlasting peace, forever conflict-free and undisturbed, in deepest silence and tranquility? To know reality is not to know the ego and its thoughts, its works, its acts, its laws and its beliefs, its dreams, its hopes, its plans for its salvation, and the cost belief in it entails. In suffering, the price for faith in it is so immense that crucifixion of the Son of God is offered daily at its darkened shrine, and blood must flow before the altar where its sickly followers prepare its feasts of death. Yet will one lily of forgiveness change the darkness into light, the altar to illusions, to the shrine of life itself. And peace will be restored forever to the holy minds which God created as His Son, His dwelling place, His joy, His love, completely His, completely one with Him. What is the ego?
Lesson 339. I will receive whatever I request. No one desires pain, but he can think the pain is pleasurable. No one would avoid his happiness, but he can think that joy is painful, threatening, and dangerous. Everyone will receive what he requests, but he can be confused indeed about the things he wants, the state he would attain. What can he then request that he would want when he receives it? He has asked for what will frighten him and bring him suffering. Let us resolve today to ask for what we really want, and only this, that we may spend this day in fearlessness, without confusing pain with joy or fear with love.
Father, this is your day. It is a day in which I would do nothing by myself, but hear your voice in everything I do, requesting only what you offer me, accepting only thoughts you share with me. Lesson 339, I will receive whatever I request. So what I'd like to say about this lesson is, to me, this lesson is about content. Remember, content versus form. So I will receive whatever I request is just like yesterday we're talking about, well, if I'm in the ego thought system, that's what's going to affect me in my life. If I'm in the love and the Holy Spirit thought system, well, that's what's going to affect me in my life. I will receive whatever I request is, well, if I'm coming from the ego thought system, I'm going to be receiving ego. If I'm in the, or fear, if I'm in the Holy Spirit thought system, I will be receiving love. Not as a punishment, not as a reward. It's just that's the experience we will have. I think it's important to point that out on a lesson like this, because there are so many ideas like about manifestation where, oh, okay, if I just request and request and request enough, then I will get what I think I want. Really, we have to break it down even further than just, you know, the form, the stuff, the happenings. It really comes down to love or fear, love or ego.
Right, because we can... all the quote-unquote manifesting we're doing, if we're coming from the ego thought system, we're not allowing love to come in. And we've talked about this before, is we can manifest from the ego, but what we really want to do is join with love.
Right.
And create with love.
Right. That's why. So in this third sentence, everyone will receive what he requests, but he can be confused indeed about the things he wants. The state he would attain. And we're talking about a state of mind here. And we can think all, and this is where the ego is idolatry. Like, this is a perfect lesson for even that little phrase, that first three words or four words of what is the ego. Because it's, what do we think will save us? Like, what do we think will bring us salvation? Is it all the stuff of the ego thought system, or is what's really coming from love that isn't dictated by us? Because remember, if we're coming from the ego thought system, we're actually relying on our own strength. That's why there's no peace there. Where if we're coming from the Holy Spirit thought system, that's not, it's not really up to us. Because remember, lesson 135, always go back to lesson 135. I love that lesson. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, past, present, and to come, is gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? So in the ego thought system, we try to figure out what's our good. When we're coming from the Holy Spirit thought system, we know it's gently planned by one whose only purpose is our good. And we don't try to dictate then what everything should look like. You know, we don't say, oh, if I had peace, I'd have X, Y, and Z. And that's where I will receive whatever I request. It's about content.
I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because a lesson like this, if you're not understanding where the course is coming from, that it's content versus form, you can get off track quite easily and say, oh, you know, if something happens that isn't so cool to somebody, then you know, I've heard it myself. We've even said this to people. Somebody will say, well, you know, you must have created that, or, you know, they, using this word, these words, you must have requested that. And it's not about that. It's if you're coming from the ego thought system, you will get ego thought system results. If you're coming from the Holy Spirit thought system, then we don't really know what those results will be, because the Holy Spirit is guiding them. Yep. But they will be love. Mm-hmm. They will be peace. They will be calm. Yep. And they will be conflict-free, which I'm really, really, really understanding here. Like, okay, so like, what can he know of fear and punishment, of sin and guilt, of hatred and attack, when all there is surrounding him is everlasting peace? This is when we choose the Holy Spirit thought system. Forever conflict-free and undisturbed, in deepest silence and tranquility. Does that mean there won't be conflict around you? No, but that means that you won't have this conflict inside of you.
Right. And even if you're being impacted, by someone who is coming from the ego thought system, it doesn't break your own inner experience.
Yes, it doesn't affect you like it would if you were also coming from the ego thought system, because that is always answering attack with attack and going back and forth that way.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean you won't respond, but you'll respond from a different place.
You'll respond from guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be respond. I mean, I've had that situation. I had that situation last year, in fact, where I did respond in a situation and I had done so much work before I responded. I had done months of work before I had responded.
Months of work being processing everything.
Inviting love in, even talking to folks that, you know, I thought that I really have a lot of respect for their spiritual journey and their spiritual path and all of that. So by the time I did respond, I've had peace about it. Right. So it really, I think for us, you know, as the folks having the podcast, we've used this. I mean, we've been very ego driven and we've learned more and more to bring the Holy Spirit in. And I know the difference. I know now, you know, I can just feel it when I'm coming, when I react from the ego thought system.
And it feels a lot different.
So that split mind is becoming more clear, mm-hmm. you know, as we're on our journey.
I wanted to really, since we only have 2 days left with this, well, today, not even 2 days now, less than 2 days, day and a quarter. I wanted to make sure we took a look at paragraphs 4 and 5, over the next day and today and tomorrow of what is the ego?
Well, we really did look at the first part of paragraph 4. Remember, like, to know reality is not to know the ego, and we had a big discussion about that.
I guess it was really just one sentence I wanted to look at.
Okay, so what
the second one?
Okay,
where there's only the second half. There's only two. In suffering, the price for faith in it, the ego, is so immense that crucifixion of the Son of God is offered daily at its darkened shrine, and blood must flow before the altar where its sickly followers prepare its feast of death. Quite the imagery.
Well, if you have the CE edition, it's talking about this imagery is drawn from the Eucharist, especially the Catholic Mass, in which the body and blood of the Son of God is offered daily. The implication of the image here is that all who believe in the ego carry out a kind of twisted mass every day in which their true nature as God's Son is continually crucified.
I have a little different perspective than that. I think that's
a great starting point, I think.
Great starting point, yeah. And also bringing in like a standard Christian practice in, well, when you really take a look at it, what can it also represent?
I love about the CE, the footnotes, is to me, they always just get me started. Some yeah. I say, oh, I really can see that. And others, maybe I don't see exactly what they're talking about, but they've done such a wonderful job of you know, giving their perspective and teaching. And it really has gotten me started. Like, I just really appreciate them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do too. Robert Perry did.
Oh, they did an excellent job. Yeah.
So thankful for him and all of his support to make the CE edition. I honestly can't say enough good about it.
Yeah.
So my take on this sentence is, so we have to remember, like, what is the Son of God? All of creation. Everything God created is the Son of God. And that's created in love. So remember, again, the two levels of A Course in Miracles: spiritual is one level, physical is the other. God created only what you would say and have a set spiritual level. And it's not in its abstract. There's no solids. There's no separation then. It's just pure love. What that means, we'll find out.
I was just going to say, I don't think we know what that really means.
We don't know what it really means, but we know it's love. Like, we know, we can feel that essence. Like, when when we're connected with love, we know it.
And that's where I always like to go back to the, like in a discussion, because A Course in Miracles really answers all your questions. I mean, like all our questions, because the opposite of love is fear, but what is all encompassing can have no opposite.
Right.
So it's always saying, you know, it's probably impossible for us to understand what true love is, because that's beyond this course. This is a course in bringing awareness to the blocks, to the awareness of love's presence.
Right. But I feel like we've all probably had a taste of it in some way. Like if we've seen a beautiful sunset and it just makes our heart sing or warms our heart in some way. If we hear a song that just touches our soul. To me, that is always pointing us back to there's something in us that knows. So when I take a look at this sentence, in suffering, the price for faith in it is so immense that crucifixion of the Son of God is offered daily at its darkened shrine. Like every moment that any aspect of the sonship is choosing the ego thought system, we are sacrificing all that love created in order to experience that ego thought. We're giving up everything for that one egoic belief. Like, that's a huge ask to give pure love up for what we're getting from the ego.
And why do you think we do that? I mean, I think I have an idea.
Was that a rhetorical question?
It was kind of a rhetorical question.
I mean, it's a raw deal. I mean, we got played, you know, we got really cheated out here, because I'll let you answer. I just want to say, because that's a really bad deal.
Well, my answer to that is when I can see the house I live in, or the car that I drive, or the person that I don't think treats me well, or read the news, or I mean, if I can see it, if it becomes into my awareness, it seems like I have more faith in it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Like if we can see it and touch it and smell it and taste it, we believe that more than the spiritual.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's why then we always try to connect some kind of physical object or physical experience to the spiritual. Oh, if God loves you, you'll be rich, on and on. We don't have to go through every type of instance of that, but it's that same thing, like, oh, we can see something physical, then we try to relate that to, oh, here's what that means spiritually.
Right, because we're more sure of what we can see and like experience in a physical sense. Even, you know, your analogy of, oh, we've all seen a sunset or heard a beautiful song. Well, I'm using my senses for that.
Yeah. But that's not, those are things, a beautiful song or a sunset, isn't about a judgment about us. Like if we have this belief where, oh, if I'm wealthy, that means God loves me, that's a judgment. Where if we just look at a sunset or see a mountain or the ocean, and well, that's really just something touches something in us, this beauty that we're experiencing. But it's a big ask. It's a big sacrifice where, like, we literally are giving up daily who we are, how we were created. I am not a body. I'm free from, still as God created me. We are giving up our very essence. And that's what we're sacrificing every time we choose the ego thought system.
So you're using this phrase, that's a big ask. And what you're meaning by that, I'm thinking, is that's a big ask that we're asking ourselves to do.
Yes. Give up the infinite, give up the divine for this worldly experience. Worth it?
And my answer is, of course, you'd have to say no. And the reason I think it gets to be kind of tangled is until we reach a point where we really do see with spiritual eyes who we truly are, it doesn't feel like it's as big of an ask as it may seem. You know, if I have a little baby that I love and I'm cuddling with, I'm...
Well, that is touching on... That's what I mean. That's... We know love. Because what you're talking about is love right there.
Right. But I'm seeing them as... So then if something would happen to the little baby, right? Well, then my heart is broken. So what you're saying is it's so much bigger than that, because we're only the baby and myself. We're just eternal spirit, and we're connected. There's no separation between any of us.
Mm-hmm.
And to really like live from that space.
And understand that is what we give up. Literally, that's what we sacrifice. That crucifixion of the Son of God is offered daily. Just think of the crucifixion imagery. Well, you could just, the standard Christian thing is, you know, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He was the sacrifice, the unblemished lamb to wipe away the sins of the world. So if you think of that imagery in the crucifixion of the Son of God, it's like we literally have to kill what God created in order to, and we're doing that just so we can have the ego.
Yeah. I don't know. The longer I do A Course in Miracles, the more compassion I have for the sonship. Because we don't really know any better until we do.
Mm-hmm. And then it always gets down to when we start to know better, it's like, why do we do this? Like we are always, in coaching, we always say, well, what's your why?
Yeah.
That's what we ask everybody. What's your why? I, the more I learn, the more I say, well, what was the why here? I have no idea.
Well, and many folks that come for coaching, if they don't know their why, if they knew their why, they wouldn't be coming to coaching.
Very true.
Right. And so many of us, like, I think the Son of God, that's where the compassion I think that I'm starting to feel is really where we get to this self-forgiveness. We're all doing the best we can with the awareness that we have at the moment. And when we know better, we do better.
Yeah.
But we don't understand this until we do.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to cut us off there because we are over time. So thank you for joining us today for What is the Ego and for lesson 339. That means we only have one day left with What is the Ego. Again, lesson 339 is, I will receive whatever I request. Have a lovely day.
See you tomorrow.